Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all of Rome. Everyone had to go to his family's hometown to be listed in the record. Joseph and Mary left from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and family of David. While they were in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth, but there was no room for them. So she gave birth to her firstborn son in a stable, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger on a bed of hay. That night, some shepherds were guarding their sheep in the fields near Bethlehem, when an angel of the Lord came down to them. The shepherds were frightened, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Messiah, Christ the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men." The shepherds began saying to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. All who heard it wondered at all the things which were told to them by the shepherds. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. Now after Jesus was born, in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Herod did not know about Jesus, so he gathered his priests and scribes and asked where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" The wise men left and continued to follow the star until it stopped over the place where the child was. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Truly, a miracle has happened. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. On this night, we celebrate the birth of the Son of God, the Messiah, Christ the King, our Lord Jesus. He was sent to save us all, to bear our sins, and to heal the world with his grace and love. He shall reign forever, Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. On this ordinary night, we remember the extraordinary event that took place. A child is born, a child of hope and love, a child that brings salvation through grace and mercy. Let us never forget to proclaim to everyone that Jesus, the Savior, is born.
Thank you. On this Christmas, we recall the hope we have in Christ. Tonight we light the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. We speak of hope because God keeps his promises to us. We work for peace because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he calls his children to work for peace in his name. We share joy because the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and minds with the presence of God.
We show love because Jesus gave everything for us and led us to know the forgiveness of God. Now we light our last candle to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the prophets promised so long ago, you have come to us once again, and with the shepherds, we're filled with wonder and amazement. Let us pray. Lord, you came as a tiny, fragile baby, yet we know that you are God and you are with us. May the flame of this candle remind us that you are the light of the world, and that if we follow you, we will ever walk in life. Amen.
Please join us in the singing of Carol 41, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Our first reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. It's entitled, A Promised Ruler from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son and the rest of his brothers return. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from the book of Isaiah. We'll read chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us is born a child, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. His reign will be on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Next hymn to be sung is Carol 31, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing.
Please be seated. Now with gladness, let us make our Christmas offerings. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church this evening. We're so very glad that you are here in what becomes every year a more busy and busy time of the year. So blessings on you, and we hope that you have a very Merry Christmas. The homily for this evening is a meditation on one verse that was read by Jackson during the Nativity, and that is the 20th verse of Luke's Gospel in the second chapter. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Well, Christmas is a time of year for music. The songs of Christmas provide the soulful background to this season. There's such a wonderful variety of Christmas music. People love Christmas carols. Memorable words of these songs are seared into our memories. Who can forget Philip Brooks' lovely writing, "Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." But it's not just the sacred church music that helps us expect that this time of year is special. There's something about Christmas that brings out the best in a wide range of music. We can think of Bing Crosby singing White Christmas. Or maybe you prefer Please Come Home for Christmas by the Eagles. There's an amazing variety of Christmas music. And I still love Vince Guaraldi's amazing soundtrack to A Charlie Brown Christmas. When Schroeder plays that little piano with his unforgettable theme, I'm right there dancing with Linus and Snoopy. Music strikes many different emotions within us. We love to sing this time of year. Some other times of year, we might be more inhibited in singing, but we sing like kids this time of year. I suppose we need to sing, but more than that, I believe that at Christmas, we find that there is truly a reason for singing. The Bible itself is full of song, especially as we find them in Luke's gospel. These songs bunch together in the first two chapters, which Luke gives us this long introduction and description of Jesus' birth. In the same beginning, we heard just a couple of Sundays ago, Mary's song. Her song was modeled on Hannah's song, a song from the Old Testament. But Mary's song is not the only one. There's Zechariah's song, a song that he sings after being struck mute after an encounter with an angel. And then 9 months later, he sings this song. And there's also Simeon's song, the song of a lifetime of waiting and hoping for God. The lyrics of these songs are written down in that first chapter of Luke. But in the second chapter, we also get the songs of the angels and the songs of the shepherds. Can you imagine those shepherds, those down-to-earth, well-worn, no-nonsense hard workers lifting their voices in song? Singing is the antidote to bitterness. And I'm not talking about singing well or the ability to carry a tune, but the ability to appreciate the beauty of music as a gift from outside of ourselves, to welcome it and let it fill us. This is why singing is so important against the human temptation to bitterness. Every human being since Adam has wrestled with bitterness of heart and soul. We see Ebenezer Scrooge battling the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. The Grinch loads his sleigh with the toys of the little Whos from Whoville. But you don't have to find a villain to know that each human heart has the very same struggle. For Mary and Joseph and the innkeeper and the anonymous shepherds, and for us as well, that temptation remains. Some pain over an important relationship, some defeat at work, some anger over one of the many injustices of a fallen world entice us to throw up our hands and declare that there's nothing worth singing about. More than one person has felt that temptation this time of year. If you look around our world in 2019, you could make this very same observation that I'm sure was made in the very first year of our Lord. What has the world come to? But to those who gather and worship during Christmas, we lift up our voices to sing, "Look what has come to our world." On that first Christmas, people from every walk of life were a part of the story. The committed, faithful, elderly Hebrew couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the young, exuberant new parents, Joseph and Mary, the wealthy, intelligent, wise men from far away, and the everyday, down-to-earth shepherds in their hometown. To all of them, and therefore to all humankind, came word that there was reason for singing. These shepherds received the news of the angels that the child was the Savior, the Christ, and they went all the way to find the child, to find him in humble surroundings, and they rejoiced. And then they returned to their flocks, but when they went singing to God. They sang not just out of joy, out of a sentimental habit, not just a warm feeling during a cold time of the year, but rather the transcendent and holy God had come in the flesh as God had sent his Son, and they accepted this gift from God. Now, all these songs in Luke's gospel and the telling of the birth of the Messiah got me to thinking about why singing is so important. I already mentioned a Charlie Brown Christmas, and God bless Charles Schulz for that wonderful 1965 television program. We've watched it at our house 1,000 times. United Methodist Church Sunday School teacher Charles Schulz knew the connections between song and story. And of course, his program, his Christmas program, leads through the music to the Van Pelt family story, to that crucial moment when Charlie Brown asks, "Can someone tell me what Christmas is all about?" And what does Linus do? Of course, he tells the Christmas story from that second chapter of Luke's gospel in the Queen's English of the King James translation of the Bible. And then after the story, what does he do? There's silence, and then everybody breaks out in singing, "Hark, the herald angels sing." Now, I grew up in an Appalachian storytelling family. Sunday after church was time spent at my maternal grandparents' Mama and Papa's house, and it was all about food and telling stories all day long. Outside by the creek in folding lawn chairs when the weather was good, piled up on the family room floor when it was cold. We would sit and tell stories for hours. Papa was the chief storyteller, an amazing man and a gifted yarn-spinning exaggerator, telling stories about fish and family and mica mining. We knew all of these stories because they had been told hundreds of times before. But what struck me in thinking back about them was remembering that sometimes we would sing as well. It was rare, but sometimes a hymn or a ballad was the spontaneous natural response to a story told that hit home. I guess it was our way of saying yes to these stories, that they belong to us and we belong to them. I think that Christmas carol singing in the best sense works precisely in the same way. We use not just our brains, but we sing and use our bodies and our voices and our hearts. And on Christmas Eve, singing gives us the opportunity to use all parts of ourselves to say yes to this Christmas story. This great story enters our own personal stories, and they become intertwined, connected, and forever apart. Christmas is God's great story of love, but our stories become a part of that love through faith. Let me end with a short story from one of the great master storytellers, Elie Wiesel. He told a story in his book, The Gates of the Forest. Now, Wiesel survived the Holocaust, and he often told how stories were key to faith in a fallen and violent world. He told this story. When the great rabbi Shem Tov saw misfortune threatening the Jews, it was his custom to go into a certain part of the forest to meditate. And there he would light a fire and say a special prayer, and the miracle would be accomplished and the misfortune averted. Later, Rabbi Lieb, in order to save his people once more, went to the forest and said, "I do not know how to light the fire. I do not know the prayer, but I know the place, and that must be sufficient." And it was sufficient, and the miracle was accomplished. Then many years later, it fell to Rabbi Israel of Rizin to overcome misfortune. Sitting in his armchair, his head in his hands, he spoke to God, "I am unable to light the fire, and I do not know the prayer. I cannot even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story, and this must be sufficient." And it was sufficient. And Wiesel then concludes by saying, "God made human beings because he loves stories." Friends, the story of the Messiah's birth is God's story of love for you and for all the world. Know that you are a part of this sacred story. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious, faithful God of the covenant, you have come to us to fulfill your promises of old. Angels sang their anthems at the midnight hour to awaken a sleeping creation. Shepherds came to worship you and went away rejoicing. Country peasants found in you the light of the world. Wise ones gave their hearts to you so they could dwell in yours. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, we come to worship and adore you. You came to us as a baby to hold us in your grace. You came to us in a stable so we could have no trouble finding you. You came to us in poverty to enrich our lives. Loving Christ child, we worship and adore you. Hear all the prayers of our hearts on this Christmas Eve. Let your blessings be upon us and upon all the world. Be with all those who are desperate for hope. Let your spirit lift up all those who are downcast. May the tenderness of the holy Bethlehem child be upon those who cannot find peace. Lift us up as your Christmas people this day, that we may make our witness to the one who is the light of the world. Eternal God, our heavenly Father, this day your children, in the company of all the faithful from every time and place, lift their songs of joy to you. We pray in Christ's name, our Messiah. Amen. Our next carol is number 28, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. friends, as you go from here to Christmas Day tomorrow, remember that the one born in Bethlehem, Christ, goes before you to prepare the way for you. He goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.